Welcome to the Classy New Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So,
yeah.
It happened again.
Yeah. Rowdy Piper passed away last week due to cardiac arrest at 61.
Yeah.
Which is way too young for
anybody.
Anybody, but specifically someone we all hold near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
And again, like, because we talked about, this is a weird tangent, but, like, you know, all the stuff that we talk about Hogan, how really all that stuff that he said, like, really didn't affect us much because we weren't really fans during those times that he was a big. So it's not like one of our heroes had fallen because we really didn't think much of him anyway. But at the same time, like, that kind of can be said about Roddy, but at the same time, we both really loved him because he transcended wrestling. It's like, it didn't matter what fan or what era you were a fan during, you were a fan of Rowdy Piper.
Roddy Piper made possible, and to a large part, almost invented just about everything I really love about wrestling. They called him in the video on Monday, they called him the original trash talker.
Right.
But the ability to be a likable heel just through sheer enjoyability of the character.
He was.
That's what he did. That's what he invented, you know?
Yeah, he was the original.
And without that, there's no CM Punk, mm-hmm. clearly. There's no Stone Cold.
There's no
Rock.
There's no precedent being made.
Like, honestly, there's no John Cena from, you know, because that's how he started out, too.
Right.
Was, you know, trash-talking heel that, you know, people get behind.
Right.
That's such a iconic, standard way to do it. And it just, mm-hmm. Roddy, yeah, part of it is, you can so clearly see his influence, his positive influence,
right,
on just about everything
that, like,
exists.
You know, like, Dusty had his own personal, like, fingerprint on a lot of things, on pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You know, and in a much different way, but still just as effective, Roddy Piper had his own fingerprint on the business and will for decades and years to come.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's really
yeah,
a big deal, and very, very hard to go. And that's the kind of thing is, like, I really thought we would have 6 more Piper Pits in my lifetime easy, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like, it's just and thinking about, you know, recently, and he still pretty much, I remember, like, the Feel the Energy.
Yeah, that I did put a video of that on Class of Ring Attire's Twitter, just sharing my favorite moments, and that one, it goes right up there because, like, the slap, the just letting that moment breathe, and then just yelling, Feel the Energy, and the look on his face, it still cracks me up so much. And I don't know if that was the intention, but I thought that was, like, Roddy Piper's got a brand new gimmick he can come out every week to. Just come slapping somebody and just telling them to feel the energy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, of course that didn't happen, but one could hope.
But it could have.
It could have, and that kept. And every time Piper came out from that point on, I was like, he's going to make someone else feel the energy.
I think WWE did a really good job honoring him.
Yeah. Although the opening. Perfect, mm-hmm. exactly what we would come to expect, and exactly what was appropriate. And then, like, we're going to have a Roddy Piper tribute, like, later in the show. And then, like, it's up next, and it was just the same video package. I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, here's the thing. Honestly, I'm really glad that Hogan was in that video.
Yeah, it was kind of like and as he should have been in, like, in that trip, like, he was kind of in the background a lot of it,
uh-huh.
which is fine because he's not the subject, even though right. he tries to make himself the subject in a lot of things.
But the thing is, and it was a couple of, like, still shots. It was one of
right.
when Roddy and Mr. T were mm-hmm. in the ring, and they were, you know, Roddy Piper was in the center of the picture, as he should have been.
Right.
And it would have been very possible to crop Hogan out, but then Roddy would have been weirdly to the side of the picture, and
right.
Hogan's absence would have been the story of the slideshow.
And that's not, like, it's one of those things where it's like, absolutely, Hulk Hogan did not make Piper's career. And there was it was a big chunk of Piper's career that was, you know, being on opposite sides of Hogan.
Yeah.
But that was not his entire career. Yeah. Like, I think me and you joked about it, like, when we were messaging. It's like, how do you not have Hogan? Like what do you do to a Roddy highlight reel without Hogan?
Yeah.
You know? But there really is so much, like, yes, they spend a lot of time against each other, but there was so much other stuff that they put in. I'm glad that they really dove into everything that he was involved in. But at the same time, not insulting everybody's intelligence, you know, by not having Hogan being at least a couple of those still shots.
That's like the exact amount that I needed him, you know?
Yeah, that's fine.
And I really like that they touched on the bubblegum moment. I really like, I mean, and like, there's so many things where, this can be said for almost all of wrestling. I remember hating it in the moment, but looking back on it fondly.
Right.
Which is almost how all Piper's Pit is. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is gonna be one of the bad Piper's Pits.
Except for the one against the smoking guy, because that one was just, that wasn't Piper's fault.
Morton Downey Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr., yes.
The famous person?
Sure, I guess. Whatever. But, like, the fact that it took place during a WrestleMania, and it was, like, painfully bad and long, and way too long. I think it was, like, 20-something minutes.
It was really long.
And, like, it's not quite as bad, like, it's not, like, awkward pauses and silences in that promo between Rock and the Authority at WrestleMania 31. That one was obvious, like, we're stalling, you know?
But here's the thing.
But it was times that it did kind of feel like it was stalling.
Here's the thing, like, with that Morton Downey Jr. thing, like, when they showed it, you know, they showed him using the fire extinguisher, and my first thought was like, oh, I remember that, yeah, Piper. I don't think I liked that. But I remember that. I look back on it fondly.
And again, like I said, it wasn't Piper's fault. Like, you know, you're having a conversation with a guy that just wanted to smoke his cigarettes. And that's it.
But yeah, he very much will be missed.
Absolutely.
I honestly don't know how many people have had a greater impact on wrestling, on modern professional wrestling than Piper.
Right. Like, the only one that I could argue was Dusty Rhodes. You know, just because Dusty Rhodes was such an active part of it for so long.
Like, Dusty and Vince, I guess, on a technicality.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, like, for a guy who kind of, you know, through a lot of years just kind of came and went.
Yeah.
He still had such an impact every time he came back. You know?
Very much.
And, like, again, like, in his, before he was doing the whole comeback thing, you know, his career itself was so monumental and so inspiring to all these other wrestlers that it was just, you know, you could see, like I said, you could see that fingerprint of Piper on all these things, on just about everything, really.
Yeah. So, but it was, it was touching. It's sad to see him go.
Yeah.
So
all of the wrestlers that we know and love that are still with us, please go get a health check or something, because I don't know if I can take another one of these in 2015. Like, these two have been so, like, traumatizing.
It's been big ones.
Like, and, you know, here's the thing, like, you know, these are people that I never met. I never knew. Like, and again, like, their career was pretty much, I don't want to say over, but their career was, you know, pretty much past, way past its prime by the time I ever became a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I found myself getting a little teary-eyed when I saw the photo of, like, Vince and Triple H, like, one of the few people that, like, hung back on the stage to watch on the big screen the tribute.
Yeah.
I think on the other side was Big Show.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I've found myself getting teared up by that, and I'm like, you know, Vince is seeing, you know, his friends slash, you know, employees, you know, one by one, he's losing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that happens to everybody, but still.
Doesn't make it any less sad.
No, not at all.
But we move on. Mm-hmm. So Raw happened. Honestly, like I'm kind of sitting here and I'm like, I almost feel like little happened on Raw because of Piper. It's like
I did enjoy the opening match with Seth and
Neville.
That
was a good looking near fall.
Yes.
Like
absolutely to the point where they like really had to slow it down afterwards because it looked like the commentators like either they themselves actually weren't sure or they were selling it that much, but it was easy to have some sort of doubt like watching that live.
Well, that's the thing is like because I was sitting there watching with Heather and so you know just kind of like it just comes in oh who's wrestling I was like oh it's Seth and Neville mm-hmm. I was like Neville's not really at that level I was like yeah, no it's you know it's just kind of
a Neville like, oh, Heather already understands there's a hierarchy. Heather is a fan.
This is the thing, and it's like I said, it's like, oh, I mean, Neville's not gonna win as like the third hit on the thing. I was like, or I'm an idiot.
And see, that was the thing, like for a few seconds after that, I was like, oh man, that referee is gonna get a UF'd up chant here in a little bit. Because it really felt like maybe the ref did count three and just ignored it or just continuing the match. But no, it was just which I know made since Stone Cold was in the building for the podcast afterwards. I know that put a smile on his face because I remember him breaking down, I believe it was WrestleMania 31, and he was like, you know, I like this, I like that, but I would have liked, you know, that kick out to happen a little bit later, you know, like a split second later.
Mm-hmm.
He's really big into the timing of those kickouts. So I figured something like that really would have made him happy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, we've seen close countouts all these times, I think we're kind of numb to it,
mm-hmm.
but this one was just like, it's completely. It was about as close as I've ever seen it.
You can still do it. Like that's the thing.
Oh yeah.
You can do it right, and so there's no reason not to. So did you watch Paige's podcast?
I did.
With Stone Cold.
I did.
Weakest of the four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, she's still.
How could it not be?
Here's the thing. You know. Out of all the podcasts, they're interviewing people who have the pulse of the wrestling business in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, in one way or another. And then you have a 23-year-old who's, yes, she's been wrestling for 10 years, but she's still a 23-year-old wrestler who's been in the company for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, she's still making her way.
Not counting NXT, but... and, you know, you're a 23-year-old... talking to somebody you've idolized your entire life, I probably wouldn't be able to keep it together.
No.
And yeah, she was very fidgety and all that stuff, but I just, honestly, I chalked that all up to, she's sitting there talking to Stone Cold Steve Austin, you guys. Like, yeah, come on.
That's something where, like, I totally understand. I don't know if, like, Paige was, like, the best choice for replacing Hogan.
Right.
I don't have a great choice, like, I mean, honestly, like, what I've always wanted since the very beginning one was, like, four times a year, Stone Cold gets to ask Vince about the state of the company.
Right, and I still think that at least once a year, I think he still should do that.
Yeah.
But not too much to, you know, kind of, you know, oh, they're talking to the old man again, and he's just not really going to say anything different.
Yeah.
Know? Now, he has said, I don't know if it's going to be a network special, I feel like it should be, though. He has said that sometime soon he's going to have Undertaker on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the one I really want to see.
I'd really like to see that.
That, and now if they want to do that during a free month for the network, that would put in crazy numbers, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, obviously what they wanted to do was put over Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Which is why the reason, you know, one of the big reasons why they had Hogan. Oh, yeah, like, Hogan would be, like, one of the guys that he would talk to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, there's Daniel Bryan as well. But then again,
I mean,
Daniel Bryan like had like the first few minutes to be like, "How are you feeling?" And he's gonna give the same answer that he's given on everyone on this book tour. He's like, "I feel good. I've been cleared by a doctor. I don't know why WWE's holding me back."
Yeah.
And they don't really want that on their network.
Yeah.
So
I think I think part of it is, like, Stone Cold had some Stone Cold questions for Hogan, and he really didn't for Paige. You know, he was...
Right.
I don't want to say, like, lob softballs, because that has a negative connotation to it, but, like, there aren't any hard balls to really ask Paige about.
Of someone who has a very young wrestling career, and it's just not a whole lot to go off of just yet. Yeah. She's got time. Yeah. You know? And, yeah, it is good for Paige. She gets a little bit more exposure to the WWE faithful.
Yeah. And the Divas Revolution thing is something to, like...
And that's a very hot topic right now.
I mean,
but they didn't really go.
To be fair, like, she still, like, I think the you know, button that should be harped on, I feel, is when Paige dropped the, like, let's make it a woman's title and not a Divas title, please.
But then backed off of it and says, oh, just kidding.
Yeah, you know, just kidding. Sorry, I love it. Don't.
Which, again, that goes back to being, she's still a 23-year-old, very young career in WWE. She's, you know, she's a very outspoken person.
Yeah.
Which would make a great interview in a few years. Mm-hmm. But she's still at that point where she doesn't know exactly
what she's
how far she should, you know, push the envelope on something.
Yeah.
And how much that would damage her.
Yeah.
Well, she's been there for a few years and she just, you know, she knows her place in the company. I'm not saying she doesn't know her place in the company, but, like, she feels solid in that position. She can kind of push the envelope a little bit more.
So, but, you know, I think it's nice that, however off script they went, it's nice that somebody in the company acknowledged, like, let's not call it a dude.
And again, like, clearly, like, they believe in something in Paige. Otherwise, she wouldn't be a judge on Tough Enough, you know. They wouldn't, you know, especially in front of a live camera. And, you know, for a reason why they're okay with, you know, her being the Stone Cold guest, like, they, and knowing that she can be a bit of a live wire sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and she has very foul language, which you could tell was a struggle for her, as this podcast can be for us as well.
Depending on what,
talking about.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm talking about Star Wars books. So, like, it was one of those things, like, a lot of people were pretty harsh, or not kind of harsh, but they were kind of disappointed with it. And I'm like, you take everything in consideration, it was fine. It was a good conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and she obviously was nervous. She was obviously, like, speaking really fast. Sometimes it was kind of hard to understand what she was saying.
Yeah.
But as a person that does that and kind of speaks faster than my brain can operate, I completely sympathize.
It's just something where, like, it was a great, you know, weekly podcast episode. Yeah. As far as, like, a network special moment.
Yeah.
But you know what? They also can't all be winners, and this one definitely wasn't a loser, so.
No. If this is as, you know, low as it gets, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's great.
And honestly, like, I wouldn't mind to eventually get to a point where Stone Cold just goes down the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, start from the higher tier and work his way on down.
Yeah.
You know, he's touched on the top of the company, the top of the roster with Cena, the top of the Divas with Paige, you know? So eventually work your way down. That way you can get to know a little bit of the personality. Because you know how badly is Stone Cold probably chomping at the bit for a podcast on the WWE Network with Cesaro?
That, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not just to, you know, do nothing but praise the guy for an hour, but to get to know him, to use that as a vehicle to connect with the audience.
Yeah, to kind of push him.
Even though there were, what, 7,000 Cesaro section?
That was ridiculous.
And props to there was a guy on Reddit who pretty much spearheaded this and stood in outside at these lines handing them out, not being pushy about it, but like, would you like one or whatever? Or, and then he would go through the crowd, you know, either before or during the show, and doing the same thing, like, hey, if you want one, you know, take it and pass it down or whatever.
Yeah.
And in the end, you get a pretty spectacular moment when Cesaro first comes out for that. Yeah, it was for Miz TV, but still. Also, it would have been horrible, but funny in the same way if that was like the one Raw where Cesaro they just didn't have a slot
for him.
Yeah.
You would have held it up for Cena, I guess, or not Cena because he wasn't on.
True.
You would have held it up for...
But, it was a good bet that he would have been on because of, obviously, him and Kevin Owens is going to be a hot angle going into SummerSlam.
Can I say this main event felt really weird with two members of the Shield and another guy versus two members of the Wyatt family?
And another guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really feels like once you get into, like, Terminator 4, where John Connor's being played by another dude, like the fourth dude in four movies.
Yeah.
And you're like,
you're right, uh-huh. Yeah. So Randy Orton's playing the Christian Bale part right now.
Yeah. And Arnold's still there the whole time. Right. But like, you're like, all right.
But like a weird CGI Arnold.
We're going to pretend that you're definitely the same character as these other guys.
No, I get that. And the Wyatts really have a thing about having a ginger as their third guy.
I do like the headcanon of, like, they don't know there's a difference. They just think Eric Rowan's looks weird now.
Even though they did kind of ruin it and acknowledge him in their weird, like, video package earlier.
Yeah, but don't
like, we enjoy your fighting. You fight people. I'm like, really? That's the reason you're going to go with? That's kind of cheap. Yeah. But whatever, you know. Invite Sheamus in your weird bayou lair, whatever.
I mean, it fits the fantasy booking we talked about last
week. Yeah, and actually, Jay actually said something on Twitter along the lines of, you know, like, oh, interesting that Sheamus is working with the Wyatts. And I forgot, I did something along the lines of, like, congratulating him and calling him a nerd at the same time. He doesn't quite get wizard status.
Something is said on this podcast that happens on the show.
True.
It's getting a little more than coincidental, I feel.
True. But it wasn't said by us, so it didn't exactly fit. They just teamed together. Just teamed together. That's it. So I didn't give him wizard status just yet.
Okay. Have we gotten anything official on Cena?
Well, he's going to be on Tough Enough next week.
Mm-hmm.
So the word is that he is booked to at least be on Raw for the go-home show for SummerSlam. So I'm guessing they're just going to go forward with the match.
You think?
I mean, you saw John Cena's elbow from his SummerSlam match against
It did.
You're not going to get hit. You're not going to be able to make him sit out big SummerSlam match for a broken nose.
Yeah.
He's going to wear a silly face mask if he has to.
Is it a Juan Cena mask?
No, it's going to be a monster Cody Rhodes.
Dashing Cody Rhodes?
Well, after that.
Or Disfigured Cody Rhodes?
Disfigured, there you go.
I don't think that was his actual name, but sure.
He didn't really have a name, he just had a
mask. He just had a mask.
And paper bags.
God, remember that?
I know.
That feels so long ago.
It kind of was. I don't know.
I read something about Ted DiBiase Jr. the other day, and I was like,
yeah. Because Ted was helping him pass out paper bags.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was like a weird flashback moment. I had to like look off into the distance.
I think Daniel Bryan was the first one he ever put a paper bag on. I think that's what somebody said.
Sure, I will totally believe you on that.
Fair enough. What are we talking about? Yeah, John Cena. Yep. I don't. It doesn't sound like it's going to be anything that keeps him out of SummerSlam. Surgery apparently went well. You know, just to help him. Help fix everything, help him breathe a little bit better, which is, you know, important.
You should do that.
So, yeah, still the main event, obviously, is going to be Undertaker and Brock.
Well, that was never a
contender. Yeah, that's going to end the show, so it's not like the entire show is hinging on John Cena's nose.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least your championship match is intact.
But we have 4 hours to fill. Like, am I the only one that's getting really nervous about that 4-hour time commitment?
Not really. I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous. Cause me and you have talked about before, the difference between WrestleMania and a 4-hour SummerSlam. WrestleMania, you have a ton of part-time guys. And they're filling a lot of slots on that card. This one, you don't have as much. You only have, your main event is two part-timers against each other, but that's all your part-timers getting taken care of in one match. So what are you going to do for the other 3.5 hours? You know, you use guys who are actually on the card on a big event.
I mean, my concern is that, you know, we don't have, you know, it's the buildup has not been greater than average. Like, the buildup for WrestleMania, for a 4-hour WrestleMania, starts in January. Right. Like, there's just a lot of buildup that goes into a WrestleMania card. That level of buildup hasn't happened. I mean,
you get maybe like a month and a half.
Yeah, well, we're on the low end of the average buildup for an average SummerSlam. Like, you know?
Yeah.
We have a couple of matches, and so I'm worried that they're going to fill in that time with, like, really long authority promos and, you know, as such. Like, that's the thing. It's like, oh, and they can do that. They can do a, they can open a SummerSlam with a 20-minute promo because it's 4 hours.
Yeah. Doesn't make me enjoy it any.
So that's,
you know,
that's where my worry sits.
Okay. All right. So. Here's my prediction, and if you get it wrong, may God strike me where I stand. Hulk Hogan comes out. Wait. Never mind.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we can't do a pep rally to open up that one.
Mm-mm.
Or they could, just not with him.
Not with him.
But they probably could do a, you know, a nice little Rock pep rally at some point during the...
Yeah, I mean, they might. I don't know, you know?
It's in New York.
Yeah.
Or Brooklyn or whatever. So, I don't know. I don't know.
So,
There's a lot of different ways they can go. I can remain hopeful that, you know, at least one of the major feuds that is continuously building to that is Kevin Owens and Cesaro, which thankfully picked up some steam on Miz TV, because before that it just seemed like they were fighting just be fighting. Now it's like Cesaro's like, you know...
Because it's Kevin Owens versus the world.
Pretty much. And at least now Cesaro's like has explained, you know, why he feels so strongly against Kevin Owens, you know, because he's being disgraceful to the company, to everyone by walking away on all these matches and stuff like that. And that overall attitude. So I'm glad that actually let Cesaro speak to get his point
across. Here's the thing. This could really organically feed into a no DQ match or a falls count anywhere match. Like, that's the thing. Like, they add a stipulation like falls count anywhere.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just like, oh, we need to make it more extreme because this is extreme rules or whatever.
Right.
And it just kind of happens. But this would be a really good thing to be like, because he keeps walking away from matches.
Yeah.
So if they said like, all right, falls count anywhere, just go chase him.
I'm thinking, this is like, I'm hoping to be like the first match in a multi-pay-per-view feud. At least three at max. But at least two. And I don't know what pay-per-view is after SummerSlam. Probably something dumbly named.
I think it's Night of Champions.
That is dumb. Okay. Anyway. maybe have this one be like a straight up and down one-on-one match.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Owens gets DQ'd for some reason or whatever and just doesn't care. The next match would probably be your Falls Count Anywhere, Extreme Rules, or whatever. Which could, like, especially if it's a Falls Count Anywhere type of match, and you have a guy who probably, as far as athletically, the most creative person in the company with Sorrow.
Yeah.
That could potentially be incredible.
Yeah.
With, you know, you're giving him more toys and more space to play in. You know, and you have Kevin Owens who is, you know, not too shabby on the physical creativeness, you know, on his own. So, it would make perfect sense to do that, and I hope they eventually go that route. They've bungled things in the past, so, you know.
They have messed up surer things than this.
Yes. But, so far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't put out the Cesaro fire yet.
Yeah.
Holding the bucket, though.
I continue to be genuinely impressed with the Divas getting two things a night.
Yeah.
Now
I just wish that there was a little bit more of a reason why they're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, they're just having matches to have matches.
And here's
like, I'm better. It's like, well, it seems like, you know, Paige's team seems to be racking up all the wins, honestly. Yeah. It's them and Sasha Banks.
Paige's team has all the wins. Nikki still has the title, so technically.
And Team Bad has Sasha Banks.
Yeah. What I would like, and like, the thing with the Divas right now is like, I'm almost scared to ask for more things.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely
they'll take
right.
away what we got. They can take it back.
He's like, oh, you're being too greedy.
Yep. The thing is, like, we get two Divas matches a night, mm-hmm. you know, now.
And two sizable Divas
matches. Two sizable, and I'm really happy about mm-hmm. that. They're good, they're long, they're, you know, well-paced, mm-hmm. very good matches. I would like more than one Divas feud, because both matches each night are just two matches in the same
and that's kind of what we're...
It's nine people all feuding together.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I'm hoping moving forward once they get past this initial, like... We're all fighting each other for the whole revolution thing or whatever. Once they get past that, it'll probably still be the same core group of divas.
Yeah.
But they'll be moving off on their own feuds, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Yeah.
And this is just a good, like, you know.
Kickstarter. Yeah, that's the thing. And then, like, that doesn't happen this week. That doesn't even happen at SummerSlam.
But maybe like, by Night of Champions.
Night of Champions. Maybe even just like by Hell in a Cell.
Maybe, you know, change Night of Champions or get rid of it. You know, whatever. Not, again, try not to ask for too much.
Try not to ask for too much.
We'll take one thing at a time.
Baby steps.
But seriously, how bad is Night of Champions?
We'll get to it.
I know.
Every year we get to it.
Although, didn't you actually kind of like last year's Night of Champions?
Yeah.
I don't remember at all what happened.
I was looking for Night of Champions because Brock had just won the championship. And I was like, Brock has to compete!
There you go.
It's Night of Champions!
Yeah.
The stupid gimmick that I hate is forcing Brock back.
Into a really meh match.
Didn't care. Got Brock.
Fair enough. Alright. So what you're saying is... Well, yeah, you're right, because Brock's not involved in a championship feud right now.
Mm-mm.
So
what I'm saying is the memories of the Brock and Triple H trilogy have basically been wiped from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Brock having bad matches since he returned, which he totally did. He had three of them, mm-hmm. all against Triple H.
So, alright. I just had a thought. Because they've already said that the match between Seth and John Cena, winner take all, whoever wins gets both. The World Heavyweight Championship and the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're going to merge the titles in any way or absolve one or the other. Maybe since there's so many people vying for these championships, maybe have a ladder match where whoever grabs the title wins that title, not both.
And you hang up both titles.
No, because that's starting to sound like a King of the Mountain title. Or the King of the Mountain. And I finally watched one of those matches, and dear God, that is some hot garbage. I watched the very first one, mm-hmm. and it was hot garbage. And I watched the most recent one, and it's hot garbage. No. Get that crap away from my WWE.
Stop it.
But like I'm saying, like, I forgot what Russell... I forgot exactly who was involved. I know Jericho and Benoit were in it, but it was, I think it was a European and Intercontinental.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been Jericho, Benoit, and Angle, I think. I don't know. And basically, it's like, you know, if you take down one championship, you are that champion. You can still go for the other one,
but
you at least have that championship.
It's a nice, easy way to kind of split them up.
Yeah. I think Jericho walked in with both of them, and he walked out with neither.
Okay.
And the other two guys walked out with the others.
Yeah.
At least I think I don't know. I might be confusing on exactly who's in that match. But, you know, it would be an interesting way to, you know, split those titles back up again. Because mm-hmm. once you put them together, how do you get them apart?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the other thing is, I think the weekly challenge from Cena has pretty much revived the U.S. title beyond what we ever really thought would ever happen with it.
And I would like to see that continue with other title holders of that belt.
And so that's the thing, is like...
And it would add an element of, okay, maybe they might actually lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, like, of course it's not going to lose.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, if somebody's holding, you know, the WWE Championship and the U.S. Championship, but they're only defending the U.S. Championship on a weekly basis...
That could also set up... And it could set up a feud, you know, or whatever.
That could lose. There's a lot of things you still could technically do with that.
Fair enough.
Alright, tough enough.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what else is there to say now? Like, it's so clear, the fans picked long ago exactly
who was going
to
win.
Who was going to win. Yes, Sara Lee is starting to go in the right direction. She's actually, you know, starting to work and get better. But you have ZZ, who is... I think it was, like... It was the tantamount moment for ZZ for him to... I don't know, for him to either defend himself or fall off a cliff. And it was when Daniel Bryan was like, yeah, you like, he was like, what are you planning to do? Like, you said, you know, at the very beginning that you would have to work three times as hard. Why haven't you done that? Why are you still not doing that? Even though, even now you say, I know what it takes now, you still won't do it. Why won't you do it? And ZZ said something dumb, like, you know, oh, you gotta follow your heart or something like that. I'm like, and one person started clapping, and they basically, like, off camera, everybody looked at him, and the guy stopped.
Here's what really sucks the most about that. I really feel bad for Josh, who has worked so hard this whole time, shown immense improvement.
And shows, like, a growing desire to want for this, exactly. this company. Mm-hmm.
And
that's to have that contract. Like,
and you know what? You can totally say he's playing me, and it's very possible he sure. is. But he was one of the guys who it seemed was more here for the money and here for the reality show at the beginning mm-hmm. and has, like, grown a love.
Or at least learned how to sell it.
Yeah. But you know what? That's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. So, and you know what? If he becomes good in the ring, that's a plus-plus.
That's what Brock does, and I love him.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter that he doesn't love me back.
Sure. We still get good matches out of him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is so, like, but to have to, like, sit, you know, that. Josh has to stand on that stage every week and watch ZZ be bulletproof.
Yeah.
Every week, watch him continue to be bulletproof, and know in about 3 weeks, you're both going to get shot, and one of you's bulletproof, and it's not you.
Yeah. And WWE, it seems to be trying so hard to get people to turn on ZZ.
Yeah.
Like, they were putting out footage all week of all the coaches laying into him, even, like, the day of, like, hours before, like, the coaches were in the room, like, you know, they're going of, like, they're holding up headshots of everybody, and they're talking about him. It's like, oh, yeah, I like this, and I like what they're doing here. And then they get to ZZ, and Booker T just walks out of the room.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, calls him and embarrasses him into the business, you know, essentially. That's not what he said, but that's pretty much what he was getting at. And it's, like, it's one of those things, like, all three of the judges are like, he does not belong here anymore. It was fun, it was cute for a little while. You're getting down to the nitty-gritty. He shouldn't be here. And yet, he wasn't even in the bottom three.
And here's the thing. It's like, they do all that, and then...
The judges don't put him in the bottom three.
Well, and then, you know, somebody asks him about vegan food. He's like, oh, it's horrible. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy. Like, I'll still get caught up in it.
And even, like, David Bryan trying to get a brief, like, gotcha moment where he's like, I was a vegan for 2 years, and I still wrestled. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, what happened? He's like, I developed a soy intolerance. He was like, yeah, meat was waiting for you when you got out. And I'm like, damn it, ZZ, that was a good answer. Where was that answerability when Daniel Bryan was grilling you about, like, you know, why are you less lazy, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet he flopped on that one.
But here's the thing. WWE can be upset that we keep picking ZZ. Mm-hmm. And the judges can be upset that we keep voting ZZ in when they put him in the bottom three. And the coaches could be upset that we keep putting ZZ, saving him, when they clearly say bad things about him. But you guys are working for a show where we're going to find out who the best wrestler is by their firefighting abilities?
You're right.
Is the winner of the show get a firefighter gimmick? Because if not, that was a completely useless challenge.
I believe it was famed WWE superstar Roosevelt Truth who once said, don't boo me, you should be booing yourselves.
Yes. If you're not going to treat this competition seriously,
then why should we?
Why should we?
No, absolutely. And honestly, that's probably why a lot of people are picking ZZ. Like, it's a big troll move at this point. It really is. And, like, maybe it's a collective thing where, like, they're just going to pull the rug out from under ZZ at the very end to troll him. Ultimately, at the end, thinking that he's got this all in the bag. I don't know. Or they might just go ahead and let him have it, because why the hell not?
Here's the thing, you morons. ZZ ended up being a pretty good firefighter. Right. Guess we should give him the contract. God.
And you would think, like, they went through his history. Like, you've been on two reality shows, and obviously brought that up to try to paint him in the negative light, and yet even though they, and yet they still didn't put him in the bottom three. But yeah, they didn't look in his past and be like, oh yeah, no, he volunteered at a fire department before this.
I honestly almost didn't watch that episode when they were like, and this week they'll have to fight a fire. And I was like, nope, I'm done.
Because teamwork, you guys. What?
That was so, like, I was so mad at that.
I just, oh my god.
So, no.
And Miz is still trolling us all. He's gotta be at this point. He's gotta be trolling.
Amanda is,
he's like, you know what, Amanda, I'm going to put you in the bottom three. Miz, who's going to the bottom three, and now that the other judges have decided and they can't change their mind, yeah, not gonna go with Amanda, I'm gonna go with Chelsea, and Chelsea's gonna go home. Leaving Amanda safe for another week.
Even though he doesn't have a save,
he basically worked the system to have another save.
By the sheer grace of Miz, Amanda is still here. Which, you know what, I'm honestly a little impressed by that. Because I know Sarah Lee's gonna win, so we're all just like
whatever.
Shuffling for second place, whatever.
Although it was kinda good to get a gauge on exactly what kind of fan voting Gigi would get.
Yeah. Because
she's never been in the bottom three. And we saw, nope, she probably is not gonna be able to she's definitely not gonna be able to compete with Sarah Lee voters.
Nope.
Even though she did get saved. So now it's almost impossible for the judges to intentionally get ZZ out. No. So that card's gone. Even though I don't think they would go that far, but I think it was a good card to have in your pocket just in case you got to like the second to last week, where it's like, ZZ's probably gonna win this, and like, no, you're not.
I mean, you know what? What's another tough enough winner that never makes it to the roster at this point?
I mean, Maven technically made it to the roster.
Well,
even had a feud with Undertaker. It was very one-sided, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, how many...
Successful WWE careers were created out of winners
of Tough Enough? Out of winners of Tough Enough?
I think they're pretty much, like, 0-7.
John Morrison won, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he won, because it was under a totally different name.
But yeah.
But, like, and that's your best... I mean, so that's your best thing, is, like, your most successful winner is... If he did win, your most successful winner is Johnny Mundo, then.
Well, yeah. I mean, your most successful contestant of all time is Miz, clearly.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it.
No, it's Miz, probably followed by Ryback.
Right at this current point in time, yeah.
So.
You know, I don't know if John Morrison's won anything other than tag team titles. Maybe one of the mid-card belts.
He's the number one contender for a while, back and forth.
Right. But yeah, so it's like, he don't really have a great list to go out of. So yeah, ZZ winning Tough Enough would be very appropriate. But at the same time, you have all of these other wrestlers that got a lot of screen time, got a lot of exposure, and got some pretty good fan, like fans backing them up. So when you do hire them, put them on NXT, give them a chance to build, you have a ready-made fan following.
Yeah.
Especially for Patrick Clark.
And Mata.
Mata's got a good backing. I feel like it's probably a no-brainer that they're probably, no matter what, they're going to hire Gigi.
Yeah.
You know? Sarah Lee, give her time, and I think she's going to do fine.
You have her.
She's going to win regardless.
I mean, that's the thing.
She might be the one, like, saving grace of, like, somebody who will eventually work out.
Yeah.
It might not... It'll take a while.
I mean, I would like to see...
And then Josh, of course.
Yeah, I would like to see more of Josh. Like, yeah. That's the thing. It's like, really, those three guys, Josh, Patrick, and Mata...
Honestly, I could see a tag team between Josh and Tanner. And have Josh be, like, the vocal one.
Yeah. No, Tanner
which
has...
They would be the opposite... of Enzo and Big Cass.
Yeah.
The big guy be the talker.
I mean, yeah, Tanner has very much been like, first couple of episodes, like, that's the guy I'm gonna hate.
Right.
Yeah. After Knowledge like, Means Nothing goes, like, yeah, Tanner's the one I'm gonna boo. Here we go.
And yeah.
I'm like, all right.
And then this week, I'm like, I really like Josh. Yeah. I like that guy, like, inside and out, like, yeah, he's all right in my book kind of situation. So. Yeah. Don't like the man bun, but, you know, whatever. I'll take whatever. What I can get.
All right. Do you have something that's making you happy this week? We could use some happy.
Yeah, because I think we forgot to do What's Making Me Happy last week, and last week was such a downer because of all the Hogan crap.
Last week was a downer, and this week was a downer.
Yeah, I guess I really enjoyed last weekend. me and Joel, well, first of all, it was our friend's birthday. That was fun.
Yeah.
Got to eat, got to hang out. I got to watch Speed Racer for the first time, which is a crap movie.
It's a good movie.
No, it's pretty crap.
It's good. More like a ninja.
I walked out of the apartment when that line, because I was the only one that had never seen any of it before. And so anytime there was like a moment or something, everyone would like look at me and my reaction would just be blank. I'm just like, nope. And then when that happened, everyone looked at me, Joel was laughing his head off, I got up and walked out of the door. And then I guess I came right back because I wasn't ready to leave yet, but that's not the point.
Cinematic masterpiece.
No. But beyond that, after that, me and Joel went to... we tried to get a table at Buffalo Wild Wings to watch Ronda Rousey. There was hardly any room for us to stand.
Yeah.
It was so packed. And yet, like, we were at that same Buffalo Wild Wings for Cormier versus Jones, which was supposed to be like the biggest fight ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not nearly as packed as it was for that. And it was still like early in the main card.
Yeah.
And people were not leaving. So we ended up having to, you know, go back to Joel's apartment and just watch it from there.
I mean, it was, it's really kind of shocking. Like, it feels like this is the one where suddenly everybody knows about Ronda Rousey.
Right.
Like, I mean, and that was, you know, it was, I don't know, it was interesting. My mom tweeted about Ronda Rousey.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, Mom!
Right, yeah.
What do you have to say on this subject?
Although we probably shouldn't talk about UFC for much more, or else we get another hate comment from Swayze. Oh, my God. We miss you, buddy. We wish you would have a good time about wrestling and other stuff again. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was quick, and me and Joel had a good time.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
Because every day since then has been kind of crap.
It's Making Me Happy was a cartoon, wrestling-related cartoon that I found.
Oh, yeah?
This week, which recreates the opening of the Powerpuff Girls with the, you know, Sugar Spice, Everything Nether.
Right.
Except it's Flair, Ross, and Everything Boss. These are the ingredients used to create the perfect divas, but then they added NXT. Chemical in XT.
Oh, right, okay.
And thus, and so it's, it recreates the opening with the three divas that they called up with Charlotte and
right.
Becky Lynn. It was really entertaining. And
although that's more fitting for Bayley. But I get it.
She's not called up yet.
Not yet, but she will go for the NXT Women's Championship in Brooklyn.
Yeah, she better get it. It's getting awkward.
Right? And I'm guessing she's going to be, you know, I guess left on NXT for a little bit longer, I guess.
As champion. Yeah.
Sure. Or do a Sasha Banks and be the NXT champion and go on the main roster. I don't know. So, we'll see.
Bayley, here's the thing. I really like Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley is one of the things where I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks, I had no doubt. Like, no. Sasha Banks is going to be great.
Man. Sasha, Charlotte, had no doubt. After that championship match between Sasha and Becky, Becky's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which should have been the same for Emma back in the very first NXT special between her and Paige. That should have been her moment where, like, Emma's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You just let her do her thing. And then her thing ended up being Bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And Santino.
Yeah. So that's the thing is like I don't know if Bayley's gonna make it without the NXT goggles. I hope so. I think she's very talented.
She's very talented, and she knows when to like
be serious
and dial mm-hmm. down all the happy and the hugs and everything. And as long as they allow her to do that in WWE, because see that was the Emma like you never got to see that. Tough competitor side. Just saw the dumb dancing and the dumb Bubbles and Santino thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never got that opportunity to show her like her competitiveness.
Yeah.
So that's really where it comes down to with Bayley. Like she can have her gimmick, have fun, it'll be great. But also have the understanding of she understands when it's time to get serious.
Yeah.
And as long as WWE allows her to do that, she'll be fine.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Who was the last character that, where their gimmick was? Because we've seen this gimmick several times. They just like to have fun. So who was the last, they just like to have fun character that also had the asterisk, but they know when it's time to be serious as well? Because I think it was nobody.
Yeah.
I think that's happened about never times.
Probably. So, I don't know. Bayley could be a trailblazer for all we know.
I hope so.
Because I genuinely enjoy her, and I genuinely like what she does in NXT. But then again, everything seemingly works for the NXT audience.
Exactly.
So. We'll see how she does in front of Brooklyn.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Is there anything else for you?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet every now and then, appropriate Mondays, appropriate Sundays. I guess all Mondays are appropriate.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomreunionattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes, easiest way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the metrics for the podcast in iTunes.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidebolt.wrestling.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget we're on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to follow Chris and myself as well as the podcast. Just kind of see what else is going on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.